League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Unbox. But before we get into the episode, I want to talk about our brilliant new sponsor, Comey. I first discovered Comey on Jamie Lang, Idris Elba, and Addison Rae's socials. So I quickly asked the team to get in touch because what they are doing is truly groundbreaking. What's apparent about Comey is that they truly believe in the creator space, and they are very passionate about helping creators to maximize their results online. Comey empowers creators, musicians, and athletes to create their own personalized landing page, acting as their link in bio, allowing all of their content to be in one centralized location. Comey provides an incredibly easy-to-use drag-and-drop tool, which allows you to create your own personalized hub in 5 minutes. Check out unbox.comey.io for an example, or Gwen Stefani's, or Idris Elba's, or any other of your favorite celebrities, because they have everyone right now. It allows you to share with your followers the things that they may not have seen. For example, if you're posting a YouTube video, they may not have seen your book, or your live tour, or your merch. Now it's all in one central location. Comey is the link in bio 2.0, and I am so excited for you to check it out. Later on in the series, you'll hear from two of the co-founders, Lewis and Ben, who have onboarded over 1 billion followers in under a year. That is truly staggering. Comey is a platform that I couldn't recommend highly enough. So if you want to up your link in bio game this year, head to comey.io for more. That is K-O-M-I.io.
Listen.
This week on Unbox, I'm speaking with Niall Gray. You will have seen his content across TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter, creating sketch videos such as Every Property Show Ever, and Why Was Every School Disco DJ Like This? Niall's videos have had incredible viral success, and he has held an engaged audience on TikTok especially. Let's break down some content with Niall. Niall, welcome to Unboxed.
Hello, okay. Thank you for having me in.
No, thank you for coming on. So I want to start off very briefly to ask you, how would you describe the content that you create?
So I make short form content, mainly sketches, and a lot of those sketches are sort of parodies of TV shows, maybe adverts, sort of the little sort of relatable things that I think people have seen before.
Yeah.
And I basically remake it with a little comedy twist on there.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to do it.
A comedy twist, a little sizzle.
Yeah.
And how do you, because you made such amazing, so much of content, so brilliant, obviously done amazingly well online. Like, how do you go through that process? Like, you see something, you find it funny. Like, what's your creative process to actually go from like thinking of an idea to then delivery? Because there's so many steps for creators that people don't really know, I think.
Yeah, of course. I think a lot of the time, whenever I see something and it just sort of like clicks in my head, I'm like, there we go. There's a little video idea there. Just jot it down in my phone. Usually just get a big old list of things. And then I think I'm really bad for it. As soon as I've got the idea, I just want to make it there and then. So I think the gym is a great one for that. Like, as soon as you go to the gym, not that I go very often, but when I do, an idea comes to my head.
You spend the whole time writing ideas on your phone, basically.
And then I'm gone. Literally, yeah. I'm just sort of like, well, I gotta go now. That's me done. So a good excuse to leave. And then, get back to mine, just sort of write out a script. And as soon as I've got that done, I like to visualize sort of exactly how the video is going to turn out. I think early days when I was doing videos, it was more just sort of set up the camera, see what happens, and that's it. But I just quite like the sort of filmmaking side of things, like setting up the lighting, making sure the audio is sounding good, and actually seeing what it's going to look like in the edit. So by the time I actually get around to filming the video, I sort of have an idea in my head of what this video is going to sort of turn out to be.
And now you're over 500,000 followers on TikTok, like crazy amounts of likes and views in your videos, so consistently like killing it. Talk to us about your radio work then, briefly, because I think that's interesting, and maybe is a reason partly why you don't have that same level of pressures, because you have this real kind of skill-based driven career that you've been building. Like, tell us a bit about that, how you got into it, and what it's like to do that as well as straddle the content you're making.
Yeah, so that came through YouTube about 5 years ago now. I almost started posting on YouTube as a bit of a portfolio, just because I wanted to get into presenting, and there's no real route in, you know, like a lot of things like acting and a lot of things like that, there's no direct route. So I thought, I'm going to post a couple of videos, like street interviews, try and like showcase the presenting, and it seemed to work. So a guy from Heart Radio spotted one of them on Facebook, And he was like, "Oh, you got a good voice.
Yeah.
Do you want to come in for
it?" He looks nice. He's a nice man. Yeah.
I don't think looks matter on radio.
Yeah, well, there we go.
So then, yeah, he was like, "Come in for a radio demo on Heart. Hear how you sound on the mic."
Yeah.
And then I did a couple of months just doing basically. So a demo is basically talking as if you're on the radio and nothing's going out there. We'll put it all together, send it to the bosses, and we'll see what they think. So then,
what was in your demo?
Oh, it's awful. It's so bad.
Is it like looking back at your first video, like that type of cringe, or is it?
I think it's even worse because I can't even listen back to it now. I like stumbled upon it through some emails like a couple of months back, and I clicked on it. I heard like the first 5 seconds. And I think I was really trying to do
the radio thing.
The radio thing, yeah. Try and sound how a radio presenter is meant to sound. Yeah. And it was
almost. How did you start it off? Out of interest.
It sounded like the video, the parody that I did.
Right.
It was good afternoon. It's Niall Gray here with you, the sunny afternoon. I was like, oh my God, it sounds so bad.
But it worked.
Somehow. Since then, I've had like a couple of messages online and emails and things like that of sort of aspiring radio presenters on how to get into it.
Yeah.
And it's really tough to say like that route in because, again, you do have to sort of make your own luck.
I mean, you're so right. I think when I was working at YMU, James Grant, and I was surrounded by obviously people in radio and TV, there is no route in that. There's no one way. Like, you're so right. You have to find your own route and I think make your own case study, your own CV. Yeah. Like, that, I think, is so commendable. I remember even having to say to so many people that that's the only way you can do it is, like, start your own podcast, like, make videos on YouTube, build your own portfolio. Even if no one watches it, you can send that as your case study. And that's a much better thing than saying, well, just give a shot on me because I have a great personality. If no one can see that, you know?
I think a lot of people get real focused on views as well these days. Like, if it hasn't got however many millions or tens of thousands of views, it's not a good video. But it only matters the few people that are watching.
Yeah.
I think they're the ones that really do matter. They're the ones that can sort of open these doors. And if you're sort of just making the videos because it's something you believe in, then I think that's the best way of doing it.
So I want to just go through like actually one of your videos, right? So let's say Thoughts at the Pub. Mm. How do you, from end to end, make that video happen for people who don't know?
Originally, I had the idea in the pub, which is
surprise
funny.
Yeah, never guessed.
Funny enough. Yeah. A lot of the time when I get an idea that I'm excited about, is through talking to a mate. Just like, I think I was in the pub and then we were talking about like, oh yeah, every night out's the same. And you always end up in like a dirty club at the end of it. And I was like, oh, here we go. There's a video.
I'm going home now.
And then that was it. So I was, I filmed that one pretty recently and I was on early breakfast on Capital. So I was doing the show where I was on at 4 a.m. But I had the idea and I wanted to film it that week. So I phoned up my mate who films a lot of the videos for me. I was like, do you fancy going to the pub and filming a video? And he was like, oh God,
really?
If I have to, it's going to be tough. A free night out, oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was it. I sat down and there's another mate that I sort of talked to quite a lot, funny enough, who I worked with at Capital. And he just, again, he doesn't make videos himself, but he's a viewer and he sort of just, he loves it and he's great at writing, this type of thing. So I get him on board a lot just to sort of bounce ideas off. So Thoughts at the Pub, me and him just met up and we were like, right, what's the stuff that you think when you're at the pub?
Yeah.
So we got this script together, phoned up my other mate to film and then was out for a couple of hours. Like I was saying, I was on early that next morning, so sort of had to cut it short. It was strictly business.
Yeah. And then, right, so you've come up with the idea, you've written it out. What's interesting is you've enlisted this team. How important do you think that is to your process?
Yeah, it is. I think it's really important now.
Mm.
Before, like everyone really, I think just doing the videos all myself, I've a selfie video it or write it myself. But yeah, since sort of getting these guys on board now, I think it's like, well, why would I not? It's just great to sort of get that second opinion on things. And I sent my mate the edit as well beforehand and to see if he's got any other tweaks.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of the time when you look back at an old video, and you're like, I could have done that so much better. Mm. Or somebody else says, oh, you should have done that.
Mm.
So I think it is important to get those people on board. And for it to be mates as well is nice.
Yeah.
Rather than, again, like a freelance camera guy on board. Because if it's your mate, he might say like, you're not being you here.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. And he'll know what good looks like for you or he'll have more context and also hopefully like you can bounce off a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think actually you look at, I think quite a few people who, in the comedy side especially, in any space, whether it's social or more traditional comedy, and they need people to bounce off. It's just the writer's room mentality has to apply even on a smaller level, right, to something like TikTok.
Yeah, definitely. I've had it a couple of times now where I've thought of a video idea, filmed it, got to edit it. Yeah. I'm like, this is awful. Why did I ever think this is going to be funny?
Yeah.
On TikTok, people want to be related to. You want to watch a video and you feel like you could either make the video or you're relating to what that person's saying. So I think you do really have to try and be like your authentic self.
Yeah.
It almost like what YouTube was a couple of years ago. You know, when it was like the proper outrageous, like, you know, and Logan Paul and stuff, like it's so hyped up and you're like, oh my God, what is going on here? Yeah. It's like shouting at the camera, super quick cuts, all made the transition now, haven't they, to make sort of a bit more long form video, and everyone's been a bit more genuine, and I think that seems to be the right thing to do.
One thought on the format of your content being sketches, and obviously, as you're saying, it can take up to a few days, not a week to make it. How do you find that keeping up to that standard? Like, is that difficult to kind of keep the consistency when your videos are more in depth? You have to enlist friends, you have to go to the pub, you have to do your research, you have to script it out. You know, does that almost create a slight sort of, not trap for yourself, but do you find that pressure is there because of the sort of standard that you've set?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the car series is a good one to sort of base that off. So the video where I bought the car and did every car show ever, sort of filmed that video, and it was like a bit of a mock of, like, you know, Top Gear and Fifth Gear and Grand Tour, all of these things. And then I did that video, posted it, and left it for a while. I thought, what's like the next natural progression? Because I can't just get rid of this car now. It's quite a big thing that I've just, a big prop. So I was like, I've got to do another one. And then I got a message on Instagram from a pilot. And he was like, all right, mate, ever fancy getting a plane involved in one of your videos? I was like, oh yeah. God, that's always been on the list.
Actually, the next episode I was planning.
So that's the next step is great. That we've done the car video. The next one, I'm going to be racing a plane. And then the next step after that, I thought I'm just going to leave it now and just sort of see what happens. And then this is when the BBC got in contact. So they saw these two videos and then they were like, so this was Top Gear. And they were like, we'd love to get on board with this. We want to set you up with a day with the Stig, and we'll get a link with the presenters as well, if you're up for sort of getting us involved in this next video. So it wasn't like a paid partnership or anything like that. It was basically just sort of like
getting access and
two worlds colliding.
Yeah.
And then that was it. So I sort of thought that was like a nice natural progression. And I think now I'm just going to put that series to bed. I don't think, like, the whole thing was every car show ever, and then the car show that I was basically just parodying got involved. I was like, that's done now.
How did you find that moment when people started recognizing what you were doing? I mean, obviously you talk about Capital a little bit and how they obviously know about it and stuff, but people like BBC, I'm sure you get others coming and saying, oh, like, that's amazing, and probably people in the street. Like, how do you find that transition from, you know, creating on your own for years on YouTube and now obviously on TikTok, to then being, as you say, more of a sort of brand, if you will?
Yeah, I guess companies and brands these days, they've really got on board with letting the creator just do the job and not trying to sort of influence it too much. Quite early days of when I got the first couple of brand deals, they really were like, right, we want this, we want that, yeah, change that bit and don't say that.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, this is just
what's
your video now.
Yeah.
But nowadays, like, Top Gear, when I did that video, they would just completely write a script, we'll look at it, we'll see if it's, you know, if it suits the channel. And they did, and they were like, yeah, great. Yeah. And that's it. They, like, the freedom, they really sort of let me go with it. And I think that's the main thing, that if a brand got involved and they were just too heavily involved,
yeah,
I think I'd just sort of not want anything to do with it, really. But,
yeah,
but
fair enough. I mean,
let these brands trust you.
Yeah. And do you think, would that be a message to brands? If you were to say, what's a good creator partnership like with somebody like yourself who needs to be creative, needs space? Like, what would be your brief to them to brief you, if that makes sense?
I don't want to say don't ask too many questions, but I can't remember where I was now, but I had a video idea with a brand and I sent them the idea, and it was like a TikTok trend at the time. And I just sort of had a vision of, like, this company that's come forward with this brand offer. It's just a load of corporate people sat in an office and have gone, that'll do.
Yeah.
And then I've gone to them with this TikTok idea and they're like, we don't get it. What is that? What does that mean? I was like, well, it doesn't really mean anything, but it's going down well on TikTok at the moment. Yeah. It's funny. And no, we don't really get it. We don't understand it. So the main message is just trust the creator. If their previous videos have done well and it's not offending anyone, I think then probably just trust their gut.
What would be your message to creators who are sort of in your similar sort of sphere to navigating brand partnerships in the best way now that you've done quite a few?
I think it's probably to not make the video around the brand so much. The ads that I've seen on TikTok that do well are the ones that at the end of it, you go, oh my God, that was an ad. Mm. It's like, yeah, okay, they've actually got it in there. So try and make the video idea and chuck the brand in there some way.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that's hard to do because I know they've got a brief, but it would just be to, yeah, make a funny video that you would just be proud of posting.
Yeah.
I know there's a couple of people that I spoke to and just like, oh yeah, but it's just an ad, isn't it? I'll just get it out there.
Mm.
I almost think like it's worth doing the opposite. It's worth... just pretend like this video has got to stay on your page forever. Is it a video that you're still going to be proud of in a year's time?
Obviously, your whole kind of, your theme, if you will, the thing that you do most is comedy and like making people laugh and obviously clearly enjoying it yourself and laughing. Who are your references? Like, who do you look up to traditionally and then also in the social sphere? You go, yeah, they're really funny. And who do you look out for inspiration?
I love Alan Partridge. I think a lot of the videos subconsciously have sort of gone down the route of like the Alan Partridge, just like that classic presenter that just sort of oversteps the mark.
Yeah.
Like the sort of the parodies that I've done of like Place in the Sun or like every TV property show ever. You know, I've tried to stay away from actually saying the brand that I'm parodying in the video.
Oh, really?
So rather than just saying...
Yeah, just in case you want to work with them one day.
And it has happened as well. There was one case actually, I probably won't say the brand, just in case.
Yeah, live by your own rule now.
Yeah. But I made a whole video and I was parodying this brand. I posted it and it got off to a great start. And then I woke up in the morning, I was like, oh yeah, no, this is done well. This is doing well, people like this. And then I got a call from Capital and they're like, hi mate. I was like, this is really random.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, that video that you posted last night. I was like, yeah. They spend quite a lot of money every year on advertising on Capital. I was like, oh, do they? And apparently they'd seen the video.
Oh, they said something as well.
They had got in contact with Capital and they've gone, is this
your guy?
They were like, why is this presenter taking the piss out of our company? And then they were like, did we pay for this? Is this like, are we associated with this?
Oh,
they're
right.
Like, I don't think you are. No. So then I was like, okay, you know what?
You name the minute?
I did.
Okay.
And that was like,
yeah.
I said it so many times.
It would be
very
different if it was slightly abstract and they were just inferring or something. But if you name them,
yeah, it was quite
obvious. They couldn't hide from it. Yeah.
But then the thing is, I deleted the video after that.
Oh, no.
And then I remade it without the branding.
Did they call again, or were they like, fine?
Luckily, no. I was thinking, oh my God, can they say something? Yeah. But I was like, well.
Worth it for the views, bro. It's worth it for the views.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So we've got Alan Partridge.
Alan Partridge. Who do I really like? Ricky Gervais is a classic. He's like, yeah, that sort of character. I think it's whatever those characters are that are sort of, I was going to say idiots, but don't know it. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like self-aware.
Self-aware. Yeah. They're sort of, I was talking about, David Brent, by the way. Ricky Gervais is a very smart man. But those characters, it's sort of like, they play the role so seriously.
Yeah.
But you know that the audience is laughing at that, those little moments that they've got going on. So those two, I think, are quite up there.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Anyone on social, do you think? Because I think what's also interesting is, you know, your radio presenter, you've got more traditional references and you're bringing that into the world of social. Is that more you, or do you have people more in the sort of creator and sort of social space who you look to as well?
You know what, I think without realizing I think it is more that, rather than looking up to an actual,
which gives you a point of difference as well, right?
Yeah taking those more traditional almost like TV personalities and then making that a parody rather than creators online. Good mates now with Cole Anderson.
He's great, isn't he?
He's done well. Again, he's really done well off the whole Ricky Gervais stuff, isn't he? But me and him, we sort of got chatting quite early days of both of our TikToks, really. We started at a similar time.
Mm.
And I mean, he's done very well out of it and really found that like niche.
Mm.
And that's it, I think. Actually, maybe that's like another tip for new creators is finding that niche, but also something that you enjoy. Because as soon as I make a video that's not like a parody of something, it sort of gets a little bit lost. It's sort of like people want to know what they're getting, don't they?
Mm.
And I think Cole's done that really well. It's that sort of that sketch.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think you found your niche?
Yeah, I have. I think with the parodies, that's probably the niche. But I do like exploring the other side of things. Even like the video we were talking about earlier on with the pub thoughts. I think. Again, people on TikTok like the familiarity, don't they? So I did a video where it was like airport thoughts and then pub thoughts. And I'm going to go down that route and sort of like stick to that sort of theme, like another thoughts that we all have somewhere else. But it's nice to have that niche for people to go like, oh, you're the guy that makes those videos. That's always the best way to explain somebody, isn't it? It's just like, oh yeah, he's the one that did that video.
Yeah, what's your career or your thing in a tweet?
Is that basically that. So definitely it's a good thing to find your niche.
Yeah, makes sense. Mm. So moving on. So a question that we hear a lot, and I know I hear it a lot in the space, is like, is it too late to start? Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time. You've built your career on radio, and then you started in lockdown, really kind of kicking on TikTok. Yeah. So you're probably an answer against that. Do you have any thoughts on that question? Have people asked you that question, and what would you say to them?
Yeah, it's definitely not too late. With anything, even, you know, YouTube really had its peak, didn't it? And it's still just as popular as ever. TikTok, again, it had its real boost in lockdown. So people now are probably thinking with TikTok, it's too late to become the creator. But I think if you're posting good videos and you're posting content that people want to see, of course it's not too late. Like, no one's going to look at it and go, that's funny, but it's a shame he's posted it now.
Yeah.
But enjoyed that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So definitely just do it. I've fallen into the trap of coming up with a video idea, not doing it. Like, oh yeah, I'll do that at some point. And then you go on the app and you're like, someone's done it. So no, I think that's some great advice is no matter what it is or what platform, is just do it.
Just get it done.
Yeah. Try and get it done. Get it out there.
Love it. No, thank you so much for coming on, man. Before you go, where can people find you online? What are they searching up?
It's just my name, Niall Gray.
Simple.
A lot of people say Neil. It's not Neil.
There'd be an E first and there isn't.
Exactly.
Get it right.
Thank you.
Come on. Niall.
That's the one.
Niall Gray.
Gray, with an A.
With an A, not an E.
My name sounds really complicated.
It is, you know. Yeah. I said simple. It's actually not.
God, what's I might change that.
Yeah. Honestly, well, look, Niall, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And yeah, speak soon.
Great to chat to you.
Thank you. Unboxed with Jordan Schwarzenberger is a Listen original in partnership with Arcade Media. The exec producer is Amber Bateman, the senior producer is Lucy Hunt, and the senior digital producer is Alice Tilley. Unboxed is recorded at PRL Studios in West London with the support of Michael Kalizinski.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.